الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا أنزلنا إليك الكتاب بالحق لتحكم بين الناس بما أراك الله ولا تكن للخائنين خصيما واستغفر الله إن الله كان غفورا رحيما ولا تجادل عن الذين يختانون أنفسهم إن الله لا يحب من كان خوانا أثيما وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أربع من كن فيه كان منافقا خالصا ومن كانت فيه خصلة منهن كانت فيه خصلة من النفاق حتى يدعهن أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most respected elders and brothers, in one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that there are four qualities, there are four traits that if they are found in any individual, then he will be considered to be a pure munafiq and a pure hypocrite. And if one of these qualities are found in him, then within him is one of the qualities of hypocrisy and one of the qualities of nifaq until he abandons that quality. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned these four qualities. إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبْ If when he speaks, then he speaks lies. He is not true in his speech. وَإِذَا خَاصَمَ فَجَرْ When he disputes, then he uses vulgarity. وَإِذَا عَاهَدَ غَدَرْ When he makes agreements and promises, then he violates his agreements and pacts. And then the last quality Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, وَإِذَا أْتُمِنَ خَانْ When he is entrusted something, then he is deceitful. If we have to evaluate and analyze these four qualities, from these four qualities, three qualities pertain to deception. Whether it be in the form of lying, deception in one's speech, dishonesty in one's speech, whether it be in the form of one's agreements. A person gave someone his word, he's not true in his word, he does not uphold his promise, his agreement. And the third quality, which pertains to deception, is that when he is given some item for safekeeping, he is entrusted with something, then he is deceptive in his concealing that item or in his returning that item. So three of these qualities of nifaq pertain to dishonesty. Therefore we find in the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even prior to nubuwah, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was known to be as-sadiq al-amin, the truthful and the honest one. And this was a quality that was glaring in the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this was something that even the enemies of Islam, even the enemies of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam acknowledged that they would give their items for safekeeping to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam despite them being his enemies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of an incident in the Qur'an al-Kareem, which was recited regarding an individual by the name of Ta'ma ibn Ubayriq. So Ta'ma ibn Ubayriq was outwardly a believer. He concealed his true identity. He was from the Banu Dhafar tribe, a tribe of the Ansar of Medina Munawwara, to the home of Qatada ibn Nu'man radiallahu anhu. And perhaps after purchasing some flour, he stole a piece of armor from the home of Qatada ibn Nu'man and he hid it inside this bag of flour. And in this manner, he managed to take it out of the home. So he realized that after some time, Qatada ibn Nu'man radiallahu anhu's family would then backtrack and then find out that the last person to visit the home was this individual. So to conceal this, He goes to a Jewish person by the name of Zayd ibn Samin, and he gives him this bag of flour as a trust to safekeep, to safeguard. So when Qatada ibn Umar radiallahu anhu and his family realized that this piece of armor was missing, and realizing that the last person to visit the home was Ta'ama ibn Ubayriq, they approached him and they asked him that, "Do you know regarding this piece of armor? Did you take it?" So he blatantly refused that, "I didn't take this and I have no knowledge regarding this." In the meanwhile, he then goes to the home, to the family, to his tribe, the Banu Zafar, and he narrates to them this incident. This is what happened. And these people are falsely accusing me that I am involved in stealing. But in reality, the person who is the criminal is this person, Zayd ibn Samin, this Jewish person. So the Banu Zafar tribe, being his tribe, they then were prepared to now go to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to give testimony on his behalf that he is innocent in this regard, and Zayd ibn Samin is the criminal. Meanwhile, Qatada ibn Nu'man radiallahu anhu's family, they realized that this bag of flour had a hole. They followed the traces of that flour and they reached the home of Zayd ibn Samin, this Jewish person. So they ask him, and they find this piece of armor there. So they asked him regarding this. So he said that this was given to me as a trust by Ta'ama ibn Ubayriq. This doesn't belong to me. And some other Jewish people from his family, they gave testimony on his behalf that yes, this is something that was given by this individual for safekeeping. In the meanwhile, the Banu Zafar, they come to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they give testimony regarding the innocence of Ta'ama ibn Ubayriq, and they then give testimony that the person involved in this crime was Zayd ibn Samin, this Jewish person. Now understand that on one side, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being informed by a group of true believers regarding the crime committed by a Jewish person, which wasn't something far-fetched, because the Jews were known, like up to today, they were known for their deception. And for them to commit an act of theft wasn't something out of the norm and out of the ordinary. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on the verge of accepting the testimony of the Banu Zafar. And then regarding this individual, the Jewish person, as the criminal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed these ayat of Quran to declare the innocence of a Jewish person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam many verses informing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of the reality. So inshallah we will go through some of these verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna anzalna ilayka al-kitaba bil-haq litahkuma bayna an-nasi bima araka Allah." Indeed, we have revealed to you this Quran with the truth so that you may decide and make decisions between the people with the truth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by means of wahi that the Quran has been revealed in order to decide with justice. That which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed you by means of wahi, by means of that you will decide between the people. Then further Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then advises Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا تَكُلْ لِلْخَائِنِينَ خَصِيمًا. Do not be a defendant, referring to Ta'ama ibn Ubayriq and the tribe, the Banu Zafar, that they deceive Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They try to deceive Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is advised that he should not defend those who are involved in deception. وَاسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهِ, and seek the forgiveness of Allah, as Allah is most forgiving for that person who seeks His forgiveness. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most forgiving, most wise. Then further Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then states, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مَنْ كَانَ خَوَّانًا أَثِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes every such individual who is involved in deception and who is engrossed in sins. That person who is involved in any form of deception, whether it be in his speech, whether it be in his agreements, whether it be in his dealings, whether it be in his actions, that person will be far away from the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then in the verses to come, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then cautions the Banu Dhafar, the tribe of Tama, يَسْتَخْفُونَ مِنَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يَسْتَخْفُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ. They are trying to hide from the people, whereas they cannot hide from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are ashamed regarding what the people will say, that people will say that a person and an individual from our tribe was involved in this despicable crime of theft and stealing. It will become a form of disgrace for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cautions them that you are ashamed of what the people will say in this world, whereas in reality you should be ashamed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you should fear his punishment. وَهُوَ مَعَهُمْ إِذْ يُبَيِّتُونَ مَا لَا يَرْضَى مِنَ الْقَوْلِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says that he was with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was with them at the time when they were planning and they were plotting at night in order to make this false testimony and to accuse this innocent individual. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then further cautions the Banu Dhafar, هَا أَنْتُمْ هَؤُلَاءِ جَادَلْتُمْ عَنْهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. That are you those who fought and disputed on behalf of them in this worldly life? فَمَنْ يُجَادِلُ اللَّهَ عَنْهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Then who will be prepared to fight on their behalf on the day of Qiyamah? That in this world you were very brave to stand up and defend this individual, that he is not involved in this crime. You were prepared to defend someone who has done wrong. Are you then prepared to fight and be their guarantee on the day of Qiyamah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So here the Mufassirun explain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us an important principle, that a person can defend someone as long as that individual is on the right, as long as he is entitled to that right which he is claiming. But if that person is involved in wrong, or he is a criminal, then it will never be permissible to defend and to fight on behalf of such an individual, whether he be from one's family, whether that person be from one's acquaintances, whoever it may be. One must always be prepared to uphold justice. And this is honesty, that one only stands as a guarantee for someone who is on the right and not someone who is involved in wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then further says, أَمَّنْ يَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَكِيلًا. Or are they prepared to be as their guarantee to stand and fight on their behalf, to save them from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from the fire of Jahannam? Then further, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then encourages the Banu Dhafar to seek forgiveness. In the following verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا أَوْ يَظْلِمْ نَفْسَهُ. Whomsoever commits any wrong, any evil, by means of which he causes harm to another individual. So like here, one is the wrong that was caused was not only confined to the individual, but it was something that went beyond that, and they went to the extent of falsely accusing an innocent person. So whether it be the wrong of giving false testimony, accusing an innocent individual, or whether it be a person committed a sin which is confined to himself, like in this case, Ta'ama ibn Ubayriq, he committed the act of theft and he stole that item. Then, ثُمَّ يَسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهِ. Then a person then seeks the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He turns sincerely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَجِدِ اللَّهَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Then he will find Allah to be most forgiving, most merciful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left the door of tawbah open, that as long as a person repents sincerely and turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will find Allah to be most forgiving, most merciful. Allah's forgiveness is open. Allah will grant the person forgiveness, and Allah will shower his mercy on such a person. Then further, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains the gravity and the severity of this crime of accusation. So one is a person commits a wrong, one is a person speaks ill of someone, and that in reality that evil trait is found in that individual. So that is tantamount to ghibat, backbiting, which is a very great sin, the severity of which we have understood from the hadith, that the person who commits ghiba is like the one who eats the flesh of a dead person. In another narration, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that the sin of this ghibat and backbiting is even severer and greater than the sin of zina. So one is this sin, and one is the sin of slander, which is to accuse someone of an evil which in reality is not found in that individual. This is a crime even greater than that of ghibat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the verses to come, explains the severity of this. وَمَنْ يَكْسِبْ إِثْمًا ثُمَّ يَرْمِ بِهِ بَرِيئًا. That person who commits a sin, and thereafter he accuses an innocent individual. So one is he committed a sin, a wrong, he committed the act of theft, but then further went to the extent of accusing an innocent individual and now claiming that this innocent person was involved in this crime of stealing. فَقَدْ اِحْتَمَلَ بُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا. Then such a person has taken upon himself a clear slander and a clear sin. So this is an even greater crime, an even greater sin, for a person to accuse an innocent individual. So Ta'amah ibn Ubayriq, when these ayat were revealed, then he fled from Makkah Mukarramah, from Medina Munawwara, he fled from Medina Munawwara, and he went to Makkah Mukarramah, and there he openly declared that he is no longer a Muslim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the door for him. But wrong, when a person is involved in wrong, and specifically the discussion we are speaking about is deception. That one form of deception leads to another form of deception, till it leads a person to the brink of kufr. So here, one is he was involved in stealing, then he went to the extent of making up and fabricating the story, then innocently accusing someone, accusing an innocent individual, then he went to the extent of openly declaring that he's no longer a believer, and he continued in his evil of deception. One day, whilst involved in stealing, he broke into the home of a person in Makkah Mukarramah, and the wall in that home collapsed, falling on him, killing him instantly. And in this condition, he left this world. This is the severity and the harms of a person getting involved in forms of deception, in sins of deception. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the door and encourages him, sends him different signs, and he no longer pays attention to those signs, then the doors of repentance are then closed on him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard and protect us. Further, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then explains his favor upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ وَرَحْمَتُهُ. Had it not been for the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his mercy over you by granting you nubuwa, granting you wahi, and safeguarding you and making you ma'soom, لَهَمَّ الطَّائِفَةٌ مِّنْهُمْ أَن يُضِلُّوكَ. A group from amongst them, a group from amongst the believers, would have intended to mislead you. وَمَا يُضِلُّونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ. They can only mislead themselves. In other words, the outcome of their misleading and their deception will only affect them. It won't affect you, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has safeguarded you and Allah has protected you by means of granting you nubuwa, and granting you wahi and informing you regarding the reality of this incident. وَمَا يَضُرُّونَكَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ And they cannot harm you in the least. Further, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then explains, لَا خَيْرَ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِّن نَجْوَاهُمْ That many a times, there are secret discussions that take place. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that the general is, that most of the time, when secret discussions happen behind closed doors, generally, there is no good in these type of discussions. إِلَّا مَنْ أَمَرَ بِصَدَقَةٍ أَوْ مَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ إِصْلَاحٍ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ Besides for when that secret discussion is where the people are discussing how they can help and assist the community, how they can alleviate the challenges and the difficulties of the believers by means of charity, أَوْ مَعْرُوفٍ Or they are planning to do some good deed, some good action, or to rectify and to create peace, to mend relationships between people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated here that generally, when secret discussions happen, then generally there is no good in it. So it is important that when we sit to discuss in privacy, then we should first check to see what is our motive, what is our intention. What is the purpose for us sitting there? What is our intention? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us true honesty in every aspect of our lives, in our speech, in our dealings, in our actions, in our behavior. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us embodiments of amanat and honesty. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.